Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry, I'm fine. Just fine. This is Wretched Radio. Didn't have coronavirus yet. Got something. I don't know what it was, but it whacked me really hard. Laying in bed for a couple of days, feeling the blues, feeling the flus. Hey,
no.
Could I tweet that?
No.
That could make us really popular and famous and stuff.
Mm-mm.
Thank you for letting me take a day off. Didn't plan on getting sick, but it did give me pause.
You're welcome.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Did I give it to you through the airwaves, Joey?
Maybe.
I'm very sorry.
Yes, I got a digital virus.
It gave me some time to think about the coronavirus. Nevertheless, you could get it. You can put down all of the chlorine that you want, all of the bleach, all of the wipies are sold at Costco. Nevertheless, the reality is, if God has ordained that you're going to get coronavirus, you're going to get it. Does that mean that you should be reckless? No. You probably shouldn't walk into the room of somebody coughing and then just walk right into their face 3 inches away. That would be awkward anyway. Don't be foolish. And yet, we need to remember what God ordains is always good, even if it turns out to be the coronavirus. Lean on your doctrine of sovereignty. Not to be silly, we don't jump off of a cliff saying, God will help me have a soft landing. Nevertheless, if God wants you to be ill because he has ordained it for your good and for his glory, there's nothing you're going to do to stop it. Because what God ordains is always good, no matter what it is. Illness, stock market, storms, whatever it is, God's hand is all over it, never causing evil, never causing us to sin, but ordaining everything in his grand plan. And so as I laid there, twitching and flopping and miserable and achy, I thought, well, this is what the Lord has ordained for me. Now, the question, of course, is why? And the answer sometimes might be veiled. You might not know until eternity begins why you got fill in the blank. It's always a good question to ask. Lord, is there something you're trying to teach me? We don't know what he's always doing in these situations, but we know what God ordains is always good. That's from a hymn, by the way. That's good theology in a hymn. What God ordains is always good. You know that one, don't you, Tony? Sing along with me if you'd like. I'll try to find a key and get back to you on that. There's another hymn that I was thinking about. You know, getting sick did not help my short attention span. There was another hymn that I was thinking about. Joey, would you please Google hymn lyrics, comma, I gave my life for thee. I was thinking about this hymn because it is verse after verse of conviction. And I wonder, when was the last time you heard a verse that actually convicted you in some way, as opposed to loves us, oh, how he loves us, which is true, but nevertheless, are we singing any songs that might actually cause us to go, gulp, I've been disobedient. You got it, Joey?
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me?
I don't think that last line is repeated. Nevertheless, I'm okay with that. He shed his blood for us. What have we given for him? Hey, that doesn't make me feel good. Exactly. Sometimes we need to be convicted. Verse 2, Joey. You're doing good with your sniffy nose over there. Yeah, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. Like, I should talk. Listen to me. I'm like Foghorn without the Leghorn. Go.
Could you guys all breathe the other way, please?
My father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, hast thou left aught for me? That repeats.
Yeah. Verse 3.
I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me?
Okay, how many verses are they in this pistol
Four.
Whip
One
of
more.
Him? One more.
And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me?
That is a convicting hymn. When was the last time you heard that on your local Christian radio station, playing something that causes you to go, whoa, I got to rethink how I've been spending my days here. I've got to think about how I'm burning my calories. Am I doing it for the Lord or am I doing it for self? Speaking of which, here's a question for you. And I'm pondering it because I'm on medication and because I'm writing an article for Answers in Genesis, their Answers magazine. If you don't get that magazine, I'm telling you, oofta, that is a good magazine right there. The question, the assignment that I have been asked to deliver is, how do we glorify God? How do you do everything in the course of a day to glorify God? Historically, there have been two really wrong ways to do that. First, you just sell everything, you move into a monastery or a convent, mop the floors, and you think about the Lord all day on your hands and knees. That has been rejected soundly by the Bible and Martin Luther. Martin Luther was the one who came along and said, no, we are supposed to be in the world, not of the world. The Christian life is not a cloistered life. It is a salty life. It is a light-filled life. It is to bring the gospel while going life, not to separate yourself from the world, but to be in it, affecting it. Now, how we do that has been debated among the centuries, nevertheless. That's not the way to glorify God. There's another method that people have used, and it's still, sadly, somewhat popular. It's the mystic life. It is the renovare life. It is practicing the presence of God life. It is the higher life, where somehow you get yourself into a mystical state where you're walking through life, but you're just always thinking about the Lord. It's mysticism / paganism that is not biblical. Our brains are not supposed to be emptied of everything. They are simply supposed to be filled with godly thoughts, with godly theology. I think that's redundant. We should be thinking like God. Does that mean that we should be walking? Even as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm also thinking about what Jesus did for me. And that he is near to me. So somehow I'm doing both of those things. You say, I don't know that I could do that. Well, some people try to get you to be that way. And you should reject that. Because it is neither practical nor biblical. So how do we glorify the Lord? How would you advise somebody? Because we fling the term around a lot, don't we? I'm supposed to glorify the Lord. After all, isn't that the chief end of man, to glorify God and enjoy him forever? How do we do that? And the answer is one word, sanctification. It's sanctification. Okay, I would add two words, salvation and sanctification. Nothing glorifies God more than a sinner getting regenerated and saved. That glorifies God. So when you got saved, you glorified God. You weren't thinking about it, but you did it. When you rejected a sinful temptation, guess what? You are glorifying the Lord. You maybe weren't thinking, I'm glorifying the Lord in this. Some sort of mental repetition that causes you to think, okay, I'm being spiritual now. I'm being godly. I'm glorifying the Lord right now. I'm not going to do. No, you just did it by living the way that we're supposed to live, by thinking the way that you're supposed to think. That is how we glorify God. When you share your faith, you are glorifying God. When you evangelize and tell somebody, even if they are stone-hearted, rock cold, that's right, rock cold, cut me some slack. I've got a lot of medication flowing through my veins right now. Nothing happens. You're glorifying God. when you do open-air preaching, you're glorifying God. When you love your kids instead of getting mad at them, you're glorifying God. Now, how can we be more mindful of that? I might make a couple of suggestions. Nothing that would go toward the end of practicing the presence of God. But before you get out of bed in the morning, dedicate your day to the Lord. Lord, I'm not living for myself. I'm living for you. This is your planet. I am yours. You have saved me. You have redeemed me. What have I given to you? Help me to give everything to you today. You left your throne for me. Help me to be obedient to you today and do everything for your name's sake, for your glory. And then throughout the course of the day as you're praying, which is another way to glorify God, by the way, just tell him that this day is his. Everything that you're going to be doing, it is an act of worship, because worship doesn't just happen. Your worship can happen with your actions, with your life, with your thoughts, dedicating them to the Lord. That is how we glorify him, and it is a right response. Why? He gave his life for thee. Long years of toil, having left his throne to shed his blood, to die for him. What have we done in return? This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. We do truly appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day listening to us here at Wretched Radio. And thank you to our gospel partners. Their faithful generosity allows us to, well, be wretched, to share the gospel on radio, TV, and on the internet. And if you haven't heard, we have a brand new gospel booklet available at the Wretched Store. It's called The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Yep, the Wretched Store and all of our goodies in it, made possible by our gospel partners. So thank you. Thank you very much for your faithfulness. If you are not a gospel partner and you would like to partner with us to share the gospel, to help others preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church, stop by wretched.org/donate. wretched.org/donate, and help us reach millions around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Picture, if you will, a Saturday night. You're sitting at your computer, and you decide to watch an edifying video, maybe John MacArthur. And the next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you are knee-deep in YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up again. Oh, been there, done that. It's happened to all of us. Instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There are hundreds of hours of biblically-based TV and radio programs and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. Wretched's hour-long radio program, posted every day, tackles tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web watching giraffe and cat videos, why not head over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org. SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Three words. Jesus is God. Period. This is Wretched Radio. Witness to a whole lot of atheists these days, and you are bound to hear the accusation, Jesus isn't God because he never said he is God. And our response is, you are so right, my atheist friend, because only an imposter would make that claim that way. Instead, Jesus spoke of being divine in divine ways, which is a demonstration he is divine. You and I would be the ones to go, I'm God, if we're trying to fool people. Jesus didn't say that, because as God in flesh, he was able to demonstrate it with his actions and with his words. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I can't wait for April 1st, no. April 8th. Why? What? What? Well, we are
Pointer
relevant.
Sisters, really?
Joey,
really, that's relevant.
We're relevant and we're hip. It was the 80s. That is hipper than a lot of churches these days. We have a brand new booklet. It's called The Man Who Split Time. 22 proofs Jesus is God. We could have offered more proofs, but 22 seemed like a nice number, and had to hit it into a, get it fitted into a 48-page booklet, and so we did. It's called The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. It's available right now, wretched.org/time. Please consider making plans for April 8th. A lot of wretches are going to be going to university campuses around the country. It's just a few days before Easter, and you can hand somebody this booklet and say, here, please read this. Here, did you get one of these? Here, this is something you're going to want to read. Don't ask them if they want it. Instead, offer it to them. Here, I only have a few left. Congratulations. You are one of the blessed ones. Okay, maybe that's a little extreme. My point is, you can do this. You can give them the gospel, and it is the perfect time to demonstrate that Jesus is God. What better time than Easter, when he demonstrated with an exclamation point that he is divine by raising himself from the dead, just like he predicted. By the way, only God can do that. Only God can demonstrate power to raise people from the dead himself. And so we're inviting you on April 8th to go to a university campus near you and pass out this booklet, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God. It is The Man Who Split Time. It's at our website, wretched.org/time, just to give you an encouragement to do so. In Exodus 3 and verse 14, God told Moses his name was Yahweh, translated, I am. This name was esteemed so high, so holy, that Jewish people wouldn't say it. It's called the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh, Jehovah. It's four letters, remember? There was pointing that was used for the vowels. These are just the four consonants. We don't know what the vowels are for God's holy name, because they didn't want to use it to misspeak it. We added the letters later. I believe it was from Adonai later to make it Jehovah. It appears 6,000 times in the Bible. And so they would use alternative names like Adonai, or they would simply call Yahweh the name, Hashem. That's how they esteemed this name. Jesus, a rabbi, used that name for himself multiple times in the Gospel of John. John 8:58, an audience of Jewish theologians. So shocking was his word to them that I am. They picked up stones to kill him. Why? Because he had applied the name to himself. Yeah, but he didn't say that I'm God. Right. He didn't. He said it more profoundly in a way that should cause you to go, whoa, that isn't something that I would concoct. That isn't something that I would do. And don't forget, he's tying himself back to the Old Testament. He's tying himself back to the Jewish religion. He's tying himself all the way back to Abraham in this instance. Before Abraham was, I am. He's connecting himself to something that's more credible than just standing up and saying, I am God. How else did Jesus claim to be God? Well, how's about in John 17, 1 through 2, when he prayed to the Father, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to whom all you have given him, he may give eternal life. That is an absolute proclamation that he is divine. It is a statement that claims, I, Jesus, oversee the operation of divine providence. That's a little bit more profound than just saying, I am God. John 5, 22 through 23, Jesus said, for even the Father, not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. That is an explicit claim of deity, and so to the Jehovah's Witness, or to, is it the Way International, I believe? This verse should help them understand the Trinitarian doctrine that they reject and deny. Jesus was claiming that he is divine by equating himself to God the Father. How much more explicit could it be? How much more profound could it be? This is why the Jewish people wanted to kill him. Jesus placed himself on the highest possible level when he made himself the object of our faith. What did he say in John 14, 1? Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Whoa. That is a profound statement of divinity. That would be blasphemy for any mere creature to ask people to put their faith in him like they put their faith in God, unless, of course, you actually are God. Jesus himself, Matthew 18, 20, said, no, it's 28, 20. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is that? That's a statement of what? Omnipresence. Who else can make that claim but God himself? How's about when God the Father spoke to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. Psalm 45:6, talking about the Messiah. Consider this, if you will. Let's just say you are reading a history book and they didn't identify a man named Henry as the king, or they never had a quote from Henry saying, I am the king. But instead, all you had were quotes about people calling him kingly names, royal names. Wouldn't you conclude, that must mean that he's actually the king? If everybody is ascribing to him titles that only belong to the king of England, I think it's safe to say, especially because he never corrected them, that he is the king of England. And that is exactly what we see in the Bible. Attributes of God ascribed to Jesus Christ. Names for God ascribed to Jesus Christ. And he never said, no, not me. Not me. In fact, he made the claims himself. He made claims that he is omnipresent. He made claims and demonstrated he is omnipotent. That he is divine. That he knows everything. What more did he need to do? If any passages, this is from The Man Who Split Time, if any passages in the New Testament quote Old Testament verses using the term Yahweh and apply those texts to Christ, that would conclusively demonstrate that Jesus is Yahweh, right? The Bible ascribes those attributes to Jesus Christ only God possesses. They called Jesus God by telling us that Jesus' nature is exactly like God's unchanging, eternal nature. And on it goes. And don't you worry. This new booklet also has a gospel presentation that is quite forthright and quite clear. In fact, this particular gospel presentation is probably stronger, dare I say, than any of the other booklets. Make sure, no mistake about it, the other booklets that we've written are all about the gospel. In fact, there's two booklets that we have, Don't Stub Your Toe and Are You a Rotten Fish? It's all about the gospel. But this one has more of a gospel command than a gospel invitation. It is both. Jesus does invite and he commands. This one probably tips a little bit more to the side of a command. Now that you have read this, now that you know the truth, you reject it to your own eternal damnation. Pretty strong. It's not wild-eyed and kooky, but it's a pretty strong gospel proclamation and would encourage you, if you can, to make plans for April the 8th. A bunch of wretches are going to be going to university campuses to distribute this booklet. You can read the whole shebang, wretched.org/time for the man who split time, and you can determine how many you might be able to give away at a university campus. And then throughout the course of that day, we'll be getting reports from all kinds of wretches everywhere telling us how they are doing. What do you say? You want to join the fun? Please consider joining us April 8th. Visit wretched.org/time to let the world know Jesus is God. This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Christians in northeastern Kenya face continual persecution by Al-Shabaab. The Somalian-based terrorist group is advising Christians to leave three counties for local Muslims to get all local jobs. An Al-Shabaab spokesperson, Sheikh Ali Dahir, shared that Muslim teachers, doctors, engineers, and young graduates from the northeastern provinces are unemployed. Isn't it better to give them a chance? No need for the presence of disbelievers. It's a 20-minute audio clip posted online. Additionally, Somali Kenyans were employed by the Sheikh to drive all non-Muslims out if they don't leave on their own. The Christian Post reports the three counties are mainly comprised of people who've retreated from Somalia to Kenya due to violent conflict in Somalia. Al-Shabaab has long desired to overthrow the Somalian government and has attacked Kenya for dispatching troops against them. Additional cases of persecution include the murders of three Christian teachers by Al-Shabaab in January. The attack carried out at a primary school in one of the counties. Persecution.org reports that non-local teachers are being transferred or requesting transfers away from the northeastern part of the state. On February 19th, a bus attack was carried out by Al-Shabaab. It claimed two Christian lives for not reciting the Islamic Declaration of Faith. The Kenyan government has yet to comment on this latest audio clip, while a security alert raised by the U.S. Embassy in Kenya was made for a suspected hotel attack targeting tourists, locals, and business travelers. Open Doors USA's 2020 watch list has Kenya as the 44th worst country in the world for Christian persecution. Praying for our brothers and sisters. As long as your prayer list is out, in East Central India, not finding an evangelist they plan to attack at home, they went ahead and beat his mother, wife, and 11-month-old son and destroyed a year's food supply. Podayatadi's mother, Jimmy, has been in a hospital bed since the attack with a broken hand and injuries to her back and legs. The six assailants left with threats that they would kill her son when he returned, sources say. The 30-year-old evangelist was away on a paint job 93 miles from his home when the tribal animists attacked his mother, his 28-year-old wife, and his 11-month-old son. They attacked his wife with rods, hitting her on her hands, thighs, and back. Sources say it took over a week before she could walk again. Adi said his 11-month-old son was in his wife's arms as they beat her and was struck as well.
According to Toddy, the assailants also ransacked the house where he has lived for generations, breaking the front door, smashing the roof, looting chickens, and burning the stock of grains in the storehouse that the family needed for food for the coming year. The villagers destroyed a nearly $500 borewell he had installed back in January, filling it with stones. They also robbed the family of valuable documents. Toddy told Morningstar News he's not sure what he will do after his family is discharged from hospital. India currently ranks number 10 on Open Doors World Watch List 2020. Praying. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And another thing, Jesus died for our sins. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you recall, about a week ago here on Wretched Radio, shared a Pantheon story. No, a BeliefNet story. That's what made it so flabbergasting. A BeliefNet story. A woman writing an op-ed, because that's all it was, an opinion. A poorly informed opinion that Jesus didn't die for our sins, stating, the Bible never clearly says Jesus died for our sins. Thanks to you, I was reminded it does. 1 Corinthians 15 actually does state it that way. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. There it is. I actually said, I can't think of a verse that puts it that plainly. And then we read about 10 verses that says Jesus is our propitiation. He is the atonement sacrifice. And thanks to you sending this in, yep, actually, the Bible does put it that plainly. Thank you for sending that in. It was the early church who also understood rather plainly that Jesus Christ is God. This is another demonstration of Jesus Christ's divinity. It is not the ultimate demonstration, but it is a demonstration that we believe that God walked this earth. That if we want to know what God is like, we stare at Jesus with unveiled face because he is God in flesh. Consider Colossians 1. What is he? He is God revealed to us. That's who Jesus Christ is. And that is what the early church understood. And like I said, that is not the ultimate proof. We use the Bible. For instance, Isaiah 9:6, Matthew 1:23, John 1:1, 14, 18, 20, 28, Acts 20:28, Romans 9:5, 1 Corinthians 1:24, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Philippians 2:6, I'm out of air. Colossians 1:15 through 16, 2:9, Titus 2:13, Hebrews 1:3, and verse 8, 2 Peter 1:1, 1 John 5:20, you get the point. It is the Bible that makes it clear Jesus is God. Nevertheless, let's take a little look-see at what early church fathers believed about the divinity of Jesus Christ. This also included in The Man Who Split Time, brand new booklet. Encourage you to get it. I would also like to encourage you to get it and give it to your youth group. Give it to your kids. They're going to get hit by this nonsense when they go to university. Their faith will be challenged, and they need to have the doctrine of Jesus' divinity shored up. This little booklet will help you do that. We have made them as cheap as we possibly can. So please visit wretched.org/time. Give them to the kids in the youth group. Ignatius of Antioch, he lived approximately 50 to 117. For our God, Jesus the Christ. Oh, well, that seems pretty clean right there. Was conceived by Mary according to God's plan, both from seed of David and of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Could that be any clearer? For our God, Jesus the Christ. I've got quote after quote from Ignatius. When God appeared in human form to bring the newness of eternal life, talking about Jesus Christ. Again, for our God, Jesus Christ, is more visible now that he is in the Father. Again, Ignatius. I glorify Jesus Christ, the God who made you so wise. Ignatius, again, the eternal, the invisible, who for our sake became visible, the intangible, the unsuffering, who for our sake suffered. Who is he talking about? Jesus Christ. Polycarp of Smyrna. I have to tell you, if you're one of those parents who's looking for a unique Christian name, I do believe Polycarp of Smyrna is just waiting to hit the top 10 list. It takes a while to say, Polycarp of Smyrna, get in here right now and bring your brother Ignatius of Antioch. It might take a little more time, but you talk about Christian names. He said, who will yet believe in our Lord and God Jesus Christ and in his Father. How's about from the epistle of Barnabas, written between 70 and 130. If the Lord submitted to suffer for our souls, even though he is Lord of the whole world, to whom God set at the foundation of the world, let us make humankind according to our image and likeness. How is it then that he submitted to suffer at the hands of humans? Is that clear enough for our atheist friends? It should be, and it most certainly is clear enough for us. Again, it is the Bible that makes it clear for us, not tradition, not the early church fathers. They too were fallible. That is why they sometimes had some wonky stuff going on. You got to be careful. They are not divinely inspired, and yet the testimony of the early church is crystal clear. They were Christians because they believed that Christ was indeed God in flesh. Justin Martyr, and that Christ being Lord and God, the Son of God. Justin, again, to prove that Christ is called both God and Lord of hosts. He died, by the way, in 165. Justin, again, deserving to be worshipped as God and as Christ. This one is actually a big deal. We kind of forget about this sign of deity. What did Jesus tell the devil when he was being tempted? You should worship the Lord your God and him only. He leaves the temptation, and what happens? People start to worship him. Does he stop them? No, he doesn't. Why? Because he was demonstrating again that he is God. It would have been utter blasphemy for a mere mortal, and Jesus would have been contradicting himself if he had accepted the worship of human beings when he had just said to the devil, I know the scripture, you should worship the Lord your God and him only. And then he receives worship. Why? Because he's God. Again, another claim of divinity. That's I got to tell you, that's why I'm excited about this book, because it just slams this whole nonsense of we don't have a statement where Jesus said, I am God. Right, because that would have just been too obvious. What Jesus did, far more profound, and the early church got it. Tatian, there's another name waiting for you. 110 to 172, we announce that God was born in the form of man. Melito of Sardis, he that hung up the earth in space was himself hanged up. That's good writing right there, by the way. He that fixed the heavens was fixed with nails. He that bore up the earth was borne upon a tree. The Lord of all was subjected to ignominy in a naked body, God put to death. In order that he might not be seen, the luminaries turned away, and the day became darkened because they slew God who hung naked on the tree. This is he who made the heaven and the earth, and in the beginning, together with the Father, fashioned man, who was announced by means of the law and of the prophets, who put on a bodily form in the Virgin, who was hanged upon the tree, who was buried in the earth, who rose from the place of the dead and ascended to the height of heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. That's really, really good preaching. I think it was Ray Comfort. I'll never remember that. I'll never forget that sermon. How did he put that? The beautiful feet of he who walked the shores of Galilee, now pierced to a tree. He who hung nails and wood, now being held by nails and wood. Something like that. It was just gorgeous preaching, reminding us that it was God who hung the earth, being hung on a cross for us. Whew. Justin, Permit me first to recount the prophecies, which I wish to do in order to prove that Christ is called both God and Lord of hosts. More quotes from Justin, I'll spare you. Tatian stating, we do not act as fools, O Greeks, nor utter idle tales when we announce that God was born in the form of man. That was written sometime between 110 and 172, probably closer to 172 because he probably didn't write it out of the womb. These are just clear statements over and over again. Irenaeus of Lyon, he lived from 120 to 202. He is himself in his own right, beyond all men who ever lived, God and Lord and King eternal, and the incarnate word proclaimed by all the prophets, the apostles, and by the Spirit himself, may be seen by all who have attained to even a small portion of the truth. Now the scriptures would not have testified those things of him if, like others, he had been a mere man. Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Hippolytus, Caius, Origen. It goes on and on and on. The testimony of the early church is redundantly clear. Why? Because the Bible is crystal clear. It is undeniable. Jesus Christ is God. Don't ever let your doctrine of Christology wobble. Don't ever let a stream or thought run through your brain that Jesus Christ is God, because the Bible makes it clear, so does the testimony of the early church, and brace yourself for this, so does a brand new booklet called The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God, available now at wretched.org/time, encouraging you, get out on April 8th. What do you say? Maybe for the first time, share the gospel. Get copies of this booklet and give it to as many kids as you can. This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Now obeying the Great Commission is easier than ever. So far, you have given away over 800,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And we couldn't be more thrilled. But we are far from finished, my fellow evangelist. Not to be greedy or anything, but our goal is to give away 1 million copies of What Time is Purple. It's perfect for college students struggling to figure out what the truth is, or for atheists or agnostics you may know. So while you're visiting wretched.org/purple, order your copies, and order as many copies as you promised to give away, and all you do is pay for the shipping. Together, we can reach 1 million students with the gospel. 1 million. If you're a ministry or a church group and you'd like to pass out a whole herd of What Time is Purple, is it a herd or would it be a gaggle? Anyway, we'd love to send you a bunch of copies. Just email Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, and he'll get you all sorted. Join us in obeying the Great Commission at wretched.org/purple.
Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? $5. Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
Important dates in Christian history. 1054. Tensions between the East and the West had been brewing for centuries. But when negotiations between Rome and Constantinople went sour, both sides excommunicated each other, and the divide between Catholicism and Orthodoxy remains to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It is the story of the day. It's also the story du jour.
That sounds good.
So you think you're going to have that? This is Wretched Radio. Did we ever expect this? No, I'm not sure that many did. I suppose some people who study history and trends, they were able to predict what we are seeing happen right in front of us, and that is basically the crumbling of Western civilization. Not to overstate it, but the issue of sexuality and gender, who would have anticipated what we are seeing was going to happen? And yet, we need to be aware of what is going on in our planet. We should not be shocked once people deny the most obvious thing in the world, and that is that God exists. You deny that, and you're off to the races. Now, I can consider this bottle of water to be a water buffalo if I want to, and that's what it has to be. Now, will this play itself out in any sort of organized fashion? I don't think it can. For instance, anesthesia. That's right, anesthesia.
Wasn't she the lost daughter of Tsar Nicholas?
I was just waiting. Or a Disney character. Is she the first gay Disney character? There's all kinds of stories popping up of different characters. Like, I think Pixar now is going to have a gay character. And Disney's going to have a gay character. And everybody's so cutting edge. Here's what's cutting edge now. Coming out and stating you're straight. That's pretty cutting edge these days. Wow. Oh, the times have changed on us. Was thinking about anesthesia because, well, my daughter is considering studying it for school to become an anesthesiologist. And Mrs. Friel raised the question, so let's just say that somebody comes in to the operating room who is born a male but identifies as a female. What level of anesthesia do you give to the man who identifies as being a woman? So we decided to do a little research. Science Daily, women react differently to general anesthesia. Oh, women appear to wake up almost twice as fast as men when general anesthesia is discontinued after surgery. This may mean that women are less sensitive than men to anesthetic drugs that promote unconsciousness and could need more anesthesia during surgery, say researchers at Duke University Medical Center. Now what do you do? A man who identifies as a woman walks into the doctor's office and says, "I'd like to have my tubes tied." "Well, you don't have those." "Well, I identify that I do. So make it happen." Mere thought. This you know what this is like? This is like word faith business. I speak it, therefore it is. That's our world. Wow, so maybe our world is becoming more religious after all. That this is utter chaos is what this is. From anesthesiologist Dr. Peter Glass, "No one ever thought gender would be a variable in delivering anesthetics to patients, but we now need to consider adding a patient's sex into the equation." You don't say. How's about a guy who walks in and he weighs 250? "I identify as weighing 125. Are we going to accept his word for it, or are we going to trust the scale? You know, facts. This is the world that we live in. How is this going to play out? I don't know how it can play out without it being absolute and positive chaos. Hey, here's a cheery note on the subject. Nearly half of mainline Protestant pastors now support same-sex marriage. Well, that's terrific. Now, here's some good news in this. The number of evangelical pastors They're toeing the line. 8% of evangelical pastors who believe that same-sex marriage is somehow biblical. It's been the same since 2010. Hasn't wavered a bit. However, since 2010, mainline Protestants have moved from 32% to 47%. And you can expect that to keep growing and growing and going and going, because they're going to acquiesce to culture. It is that, or you will be put out of business. Now, I think these people are doing a perfectly fine job of putting themselves out of business. And frankly, it's not going to work, because as long as you have a Bible sitting in your church, you have not acquiesced. Because it is the Bible that gives us our marching orders, and that is never going to change unless, of course, you work tirelessly to try to say, well, it appears to say that, but it really doesn't. Well, it really does. No wonder why the churches are crumbling as fast as they are. How Drag Queen Story Hour expanded across America. Thanks, Daily Signal. Children aged 3 to 8 years old. Books used during Drag Queen Story Hours focus on gender identity and same-sex relationships. Books like Prince and Knight and Maiden and Princess, created to explore gender through fantasy. In spaces like this, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where people can present as they wish, where dress-up is real. Well, that's the veritable, I mean, that's the definition of insanity. I'm a styrofoam cup, and that's what you have to call me. And they're teaching it to our kids. That's the way it works. You get the kids, and you get the game. That is as simple as that. You get the kids, and you win. And by the way, Karl Marx taught that. The official... He should be plenty happy about this election, by the way. Looks like people dropped out like flies after, what was it, South Carolina, I believe, when Joe Biden kind of took all the chips. Looks like we lost. By the way, did you see Pete Buttigieg, his brother-in-law, who's a pastor, actually said everything that he represents is unbiblical and sinful? Well, that ought to make for a lovely Thanksgiving. That should just be a really sweet Christmas at the Buttigieg family reunion.
No tension there.
No problem. He's out. Amy Klobuchar is out.
Cost me money.
Amy cost you money? Well, of course she did.
I had a bet with my wife. I told her she won't make it past Super Tuesday. She didn't make it to Super Tuesday, so technically I lose.
No, you win that one, I thought. I'd have to give that a win, which might be the first time that you were right and Robin was not. I know Robin.
Mm-hmm.
She's right.
She's always right.
A lot.
Scary.
The official Drag Story Hour website boasts 45 independently operated chapters across the United States. That's right. Your tax dollars going to your public library so that they can read to the kids about drag queens from drag queens. Drag Queen Story Hour gave my first graders a fun and interactive platform to talk and think about a social and emotional issue like acceptance, being yourself, and loving who you are. During our debrief, students were preaching the incredible lessons that they had learned. It's called indoctrination. I'm so glad we Christians aren't the only ones who do it. Like, it's okay to be different. And there's no such thing as boy and girl things. Okay. All right. That's fine. In Finland, Christian lawmaker facing fines and prison. Why? Despite the fact that almost 70% of Finns are still members of the National Lutheran Church. Hey, Tony, that's you.
But that doesn't mean they're believers. Not even close, but thanks.
Mm-hmm. Less than a third of Finns now say they believe in God. It's a nation with a constitution that still tells the national church to proclaim a Bible-based Christian faith. That makes one wonder why Finland is investigating a member of parliament for proclaiming her Bible-based Christian faith, which is what she did. I'll try to pronounce this name. It'll be a hash. Päivi Räsänen. He's under two investigations. It's close enough.
Päivi Räsänen. Honest.
For allegedly, is that how you say it? You know this? I didn't know you studied Finnish. Congratulations.
I studied Lutheran.
Is under two investigations for allegedly defaming or insulting homosexuals. The first after she shared a Bible verse on Twitter. There it is. That aimed at Finland's Lutheran church for promoting the homosexual lifestyle. She said, quote, "In my tweet, I directly cited Romans 1st chapter and verses 24 to 27 and posted the picture of the passages from the Bible." And that'll put you under investigation in Finland? Yes, it will. Now opened a second investigation concerning a pamphlet that this person wrote 15 years ago about biblical Christian marriage called Man and Woman. He created them. Under investigation. You own a Bible? You have not acquiesced. You do not strip your church of anything that is related to Scripture. You have not acquiesced. So these pastors who are giving in to say, yeah, I'm all for it, it ain't going to cut it. And furthermore, I would suggest to you, as long as there is anything Christian inside of a church, you can try to waffle all you want. But you are not going to escape what is coming our way almost certainly. It's a little promise that the Bible gives us. Trials, tribulation, temptation, and persecution. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.